Chapter 2. Inside their cabin, the cabin where she had been born and where her mother had died, Minnie stood in the kitchen drinking a glass of water. Since her mother had passed, the weekends were long and uneventful. She had books and she had the internet, but she had always loved exploring with her mum best of all. When the sea was calm, they'd go canoeing together along the shore, exploring the dozens of small islands. Some were big enough to build a cabin on, and some had just one or two low, bent trees growing on them. Using their paddles, they'd scoop up the dark red, spiny sea urchins from the shallows, some the size of a soccer ball. To Minnie, they looked despairing and lost, just waving their long, thin, scarlet spikes around helplessly. She would drop them back in the water, in the deep rock pools. Sometimes they'd trail a line behind the canoe and catch fish. Pink salmon or grey trout. They would take them home and cook them in hot butter. The three of them would eat at the small wooden table by the fire, and her mum would always say, without fail, "Mmm, them's good eats." They pulled the flesh from the bones and wolfed it down with chunks of the soft brown bread her mum would bake. Minnie palmed tears from her cheeks and opened the door to her mum's room. She looked in the wardrobe, and the scent from her mother's clothes enveloped her. How long would her clothes retain that smell? It was a combination of her mum's fancy French scent, which she insisted was called Optimist, although the bottle said something else, and of wool from her sweaters, and leather from her belts and boots. Dan hadn't moved her clothes or put any of her things in storage. It was exactly how her mum had left it when she went to the hospital. When she came home from the hospital, because she insisted on being in the place she loved most for her final days, she hadn't the strength to open the wardrobe, and she was done with clothes anyway. She'd said, "I'm done with everything except love. Love for you, Minnie, and love for Dan. Love for my friends and love for this place. I need nothing else but love to send me on my way." Minnie decided to go and find Billy and Musto, because they were always up and never down. Billy and Minnie had something in common, as, like her, he had just one grown-up looking after him, because his dad was always away driving trucks. Instead of climbing out of the small bathroom window at the back of the cabin, which she usually did to save time, or going into the vegetable garden and climbing over the fence, she took the longer way round. She walked past her favourite tree, through the grassy car parking area, and up the track. It led her past the solar panels Dan had installed on the rise behind their cabin and past the wind turbine up on the little rocky outcrop close to the forest edge. Sitting on top of a tall metal post, supported by cables pegged to the ground, were four slim white blades, like an aeroplane's propeller, which turned steadily in a breeze, generating electricity for the cabins. Billy and his mom, Connie, lived in the seventh cabin on a small parcel of land up the track a ways, close to the forest, and as it was higher up the slope it had a clear view over the cabins and across the bay. Connie had bought the land from Minnie's mother, and the two women had built the cabin together. It was long and low, with flowering white honeysuckle curling and coiling in and along the wooden rails that bordered the front of the deck. Dan was hammering something somewhere as Minnie climbed the steps. From this high point, she could see him on the roof of one of the cabins. Behind him stretched the blue-grey expanse of the bay, framed by tall dark pines on both sides of the cabin clearing. A shaggy-coated yellow-tan dog lay on the deck, and he lifted his head and wagged his tail, which thwacked on the wooden boards. "Hey, Musto!" she knelt, patting and stroking the dog. She yelled out, "Billy Bug!" Minnie sometimes called him Billy Bug, because when her mother first saw the very tiny baby Billy, wrapped up tightly in a blanket, she'd said, "Oh, don't he just look as snug as a bug in a rug?" And he did. Her mum had called him that ever since. The screen door was flung open by Connie. "Hi, Minnie. How are you doing?" She held a large wooden bowl of long, gnarly green beans. "Hi, Connie, I'm fine. Can Billy come play?" A single bolt of silver ran through Connie's long black-braided hair, fastened with a brown leather lace and with feathers pushed into the knot. She was barefooted, wearing a long, loose-fitting sky-blue cotton frock. She put the bowl on the table.